Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of the NBL News Podcast. Hope you guys all had a Merry Christmas. For those who celebrate, I'm joined by just Jackson again. How's it going, Jackson?
I'm all right. Bit hectic in the McDonald household at the moment. Got some family over, but glad that we're recording again. You know, we missed our usual Tuesday schedule because of Boxing Day and weren't able to record yesterday, so we're doing it now.
Yeah, I think it's perfect timing anyway. The round is just, it's just that funny time between Christmas and New Year's where you don't know what day it is and you don't know what you're doing. So we're recording this on the Thursday, which is after the apparently the last round ended on the Wednesday. It's all happening in the NBL. Aiden's still in his little old bunker there, but hopefully he'll be back for us in the New Year, isn't it, right, Jackson?
Yeah, look, we try to get him out. You know, this hostage situation has gone on for a while. You know, we're
next
trying
year.
Our best here at NBL News to get a release, but it's just really difficult.
Look, the last round, there was plenty of games, most games we saw in around this year. And also in the last round, we saw the best game of the year. I think you can put your hands down to argue any other game because that, the whole atmosphere, the entirety of the game was just brilliant. And I'm talking about the Perth Melbourne game, obviously. That was sensational. We were both there. Overtime win for Melbourne United. That was just an elite contest between the two best teams in the competition. Now, are you happy I'm saying Perth is the second best team in the comp now, Jackson?
Look, I won't agree with it. I mean, they're not the best, but like
the second best.
There's like two, three teams that could have a claim to second best, but like a few teams aren't really playing well at the moment. But yeah,
I think that game cements them as the second best team in the league. And I think that's due to one man, and that is Bryce Cotton. And before I get into the actual game, the whole atmosphere, the open air.
Yes.
Like they've had, I think that was the 10th game now. So I've been to pretty much every one of them. Always fun, always just a spectacle to see. But to have a bit of fireworks at halftime was cool to see. Even though Ash was dropping down on our computers in the media section, it was all fun. It was
Our
good
laptops were covered in them. We had
Yeah.
to, like, there was stuff still falling down during the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Poor Melbourne media manager got something in his eye too. So, no, it was good. It was the fireworks are sensational. Even the A-League used the fireworks in the background. I think they have to stop their game because of it or something, but they also promoted it.
I will say I am glad that it didn't, like, go onto the court and somebody slipped over.
Yeah.
Like that was the one thing I was thinking of during the fireworks. I was like, oh my goodness, hopefully somebody doesn't slip and get injured. But
yeah, that was just
it was
fun.
Awesome to see. Really good spectacle.
Sold out game as well. Just brilliant. But the game itself, I gotta talk about one man here, and that's Bryce Cotton. All 45 minutes, which is insane. Gave me nada when I asked him how his body felt after actually playing 45 minutes of basketball. Just another day at the office, he said, which is Bryce Cotton answer, I guess.
Doc standard media response that he's well trained.
But 36 points either way, you look at that and you think, wow, he's unreal. But you watch that game, especially in that first half there where Melbourne was struggling a bit. Cotton's defense on Goulding was sensational. Like, since I don't know how many, I think Goulding still finished with 19. But either way, like, people don't understand how good Bryce Cotton is as a defender in this league. And it is why he has clearly been the best player for the last 5 years in the competition. And you watch these games, he's able to lock up the best player on the opposition team. Like, this isn't just a one-off what he did against Melbourne. Like, he does this on a regular basis. And like, it's crazy because he's 6 foot. Like, he's just like the complete player. Can you, like, I know I'm talking imaginary stuff. Can you imagine if Bryce Cotton was just like a little bit taller? You know, he's got the
Another inch or
athleticism.
two.
Yeah, he would be like I don't know if you would say he'd be a superstar in the NBA or not. But like he's just like the complete player. Like, there's nothing really bad of his game at the moment. And he's just such a thrill to watch. What did you make of that game, especially Bryce Conn?
Well, first of all, game of the season without doubt, and I thought that overtime game, well, I can't even say that anymore because that game went into overtime. The Jordan Usher three-pointer and then the 2 minute that game, I thought nothing could top that in terms of intensity and like how close that game was. But then you watch that game, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, I thought it couldn't go any higher in the regular season, but that was intense. Like JLA's first free throw, like we had bounced up and it somehow went in.
It's like that Damon Lowry free throw in the early
Yeah.
2000s.
And
They
then
always play.
Ian Clark going berserk in the fourth quarter in overtime. Like,
Yeah, especially OT. He won them that game.
yeah. And then Bryce just doing Bryce things. Jordan Usher hitting some clutch three pointers in the fourth, keeping Perth in it. Like, there's just so many plays in that game that you could say, right, that play could have won the game, but then something else happened. And the fact that it was open air, like, I mean, the first quarter was dreadful. There was like, I want to say,
Was
25 free throws in the first quarter alone, both teams.
Forget that though, the rest
But
of
like from the second
the
quarter onwards, it
game.
was such a good game. Like it was just a complete game of basketball. Like if that was a five game in a five game NBL final series, we'd be saying like that this is the greatest final series ever. Like that is, you can't top a game like that unless somebody hits a game winner. Like that, you can't top that.
See, a lot of fans are going to say, oh, because Melbourne Perth, like the two of the biggest fan bases, you know, obviously
You
it's
could
got
have
to,
put that game
yeah, it could have
with
been
Cairns
anyone.
and Illawarra
And
or New Zealand and Tassie or some team with like a smaller fan base, and it would be the exact same reactions.
yep.
But like, it was just insane. Like, you can't top it.
I do want a five game series between those two teams now. Especially with, has Melbourne played Perth on the road yet this
Yeah,
year?
they played them like early season, like round three or four.
Who won that?
And
Did anyone?
Melbourne won by six, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Perth weren't in it, and then they made a run in the fourth quarter, but then Mel and like Golding hit a few shots at the end and
Gotcha.
Melbourne ran away.
Yeah.
Travers played a good game that game as well after going into Perth's locker room before the game.
Yeah. Hopefully it is like a best of five
Yeah.
grand final series. I'd love to see that because they are two of the best teams at the
I
moment.
will
But
say
yeah.
that, like, you know, the 2021 season, we were robbed of a really, really good final series with Cotton being injured and Melbourne didn't have Jack White. I really want this year to be the makeup for that. If both teams can go into, you know, can make a final series and both teams be 100% healthy, like that would be really, really good to watch.
Yeah, because I feel like we've only had one complete grand final series since the last 5 years, I would say. Last year's Sydney, New Zealand, that five game series went down to the wire. 2022 was at the Kings beat the Jack Jumpers
And like
sweep.
Chris Levick and a
And
bunch
there
of
was
guys
no,
in Tassie
yeah.
had the flu and they were
Everyone,
starting
Jalen Adams
Jock
didn't
Perry.
play. Yeah, Jalen Adams didn't play. That was just
Yeah.
like not a good. The year
And the
before that.
COVID one, which was cut short
Yeah,
and
Melbourne Perth,
which was four games, better than
yeah,
last couple.
Sydney Perth,
Yeah.
that would have been topped, but yeah, hopefully we get a good grand final series this year though. Crossing fingers. Upsets galore though. Enough glazing of Melbourne and Perth. Let's talk about some of the teams that got some big time upsets, and both were on Christmas Day. Good to have some basketball on Christmas Day. It's just unfortunate that the NBL didn't capitalize enough on it. It sucked that none of these games were on the main channel anywhere on Channel 10.
Yeah.
It just shows
It
the
wasn't
NBL
even
still.
main channel ESPN. It was ESPN 2.
It still shows like that the NBL's got a fair bit to go. I'm also sure like the TV ratings. I think like more people in Australia watch the NFL on ESPN on Christmas Day than the NBL. So there's still a lot of work to do with the NBL in terms of the TV rating. This is the thing with Christmas Day, to trying to capitalize on that TV market. Worked last year because it was on main channel 10. This year didn't wasn't so didn't work well. So hopefully they find a good broadcast deal next year when that ends up, and actually capitalize off being the first professional league to do this. Because I can see the Big Bash A League following suit sooner rather than later. But either way, those games on Christmas Day, we'll talk about that Phoenix game first. Alan Williams had four fouls with, I think it was 6 minutes to go in the second quarter.
Yeah. And he
And
had three fouls at halftime.
I thought, there is no way that the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix win this game. No Williams, but what, with four fouls, he was likely to play less minutes. No Creek, a few other injuries. Gorjakak, I think, was injured. Obviously, Craig Moller. They have to travel to Tassie, who are one of the most informed teams in the league. They're fully healthy and ready to go. Milton Doyle back. You'd think, gee, Phoenix, they got to get absolutely killed now in the second half. But no, they just somehow. It's I don't. I honestly, I watched that game. I just don't know how they ended up just winning that game. It was just crazy. I think it's due to mainly one guy, and that's Gary Brown. And this is what determines the rest of the Phoenix season, is if Gary Brown can play a consistent major role on this Phoenix team. Because as we saw in that game against Illawarra, I think last week in Gippsland, Gary Brown didn't really step up when Creek was out, and they ended up getting killed by 30. But in this game, Gary Brown had 11 boards, which is insane. Six, I think he led stats in every category for the Phoenix, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think
Maybe
so.
not rebounds. I think
No,
so.
Williams would have had
Yeah.
rebounds.
Either way, like, unreal
No, he did.
performance.
Gary Brown had a double-double rebounds.
Yeah,
So, and
that's what I'm
Williams
saying.
didn't. So.
Yeah, Brown had 20, 11, and 6. So an insane game from him. And that's, as I said, this is what he needs to do on a consistent basis if Phoenix have any chance to be a true contender this year. And I think that's all I could really describe how they got the win. A few great
Ben
spurts
Ayre hit a
from,
massive shot,
yeah, Ben Ayre was
long
great.
distance three
Abdul
as
Nader
well.
seems to be fitting in quite well. He's getting into rhythm already, which is really good to see for the Phoenix. Matt Kenyon was great against his former side, especially on that defensive end, as we always see. Did you see anything from that game that you thought, well, do you think there was any issues from the Jack Jumps in that second half, especially, or just Phoenix won that?
The fourth quarter was a bit of a defensive slugfest a bit. Kenyon played a really good game for Phoenix. He went under the radar a bit, but like what he did in that game was exceptional. He wouldn't get all the Kenyon's the type of player, like there's a few guys in the league that won't get the stats usually, but the impact on the game is massive. But this game, I think he had like 12 and 7. But like his defensive work, his rebounding, and hitting a couple of clutch layups at the end off a few good backdoor cuts and just everything. Like it just, his game was really, really good. And he was a main part in why they won. And also, it's against his former team, which would have been nice. But
Exactly.
Doyle hasn't been the same player since the beginning of the season. Like he hasn't, beginning of the season, first three rounds, it's like, right, Doyle's leading the
MVP.
MVP race, but he hasn't been the same player since. Like, I'm trying to think, like the last game he was a real big impact was that game in which he went berserk against United in the fourth quarter. I think that would have been his last game where he really went off and had a big game for Tassie, but like since then, there hasn't been a game because he should be Tassie's guy.
And this has always been my issue with Tassie as well, is how does the Crawford Doyle duo work? Magennon and Doyle just worked off, and Magennon and Josh Adams as well.
Yeah.
They just worked well together so often because Josh Magennon is just that unreal playmaker. When he needs to score, he needs to score. But Crawford and Doyle, it's just, I don't know, they're like, don't, like, mind you, Tassie is still like a top four team in the competition. You can say they're the third best team in the league still,
Yep.
but I just don't know. The Crawford Doyle backcourt just doesn't seem to work too well. That's my issue with Tassie at the moment, but
Like, here's the thing though with Tassie. They could have won both games they've played against Perth, right? Like, they beat Perth by one, I want to say 2 weeks ago, and then the first game of the season, they could have beat Perth then, but Usher went berserk. And like, they would be switching spots currently. Like, they are a really good team. And like, just a few, they've lost a few close games.
That they should have
And
won. Yeah.
yeah.
And they need
And
to
it's
change
just,
it. If this
yeah.
has been their thing the last 2 years. I mean, they've made finals, mind you, but their thing has always been unable to finishing those games in, high level situation. Like, they could have beaten Breakers in that 3-game series last year. There was no excuse for that. And they just couldn't. Despite obviously the Melbourne United series where Josh Adams hit that crazy shot, they haven't been able to have massive endings. We've seen, like, in the Sydney series when Vasilevich went off in that game, and
Yep.
that's something they really need to focus on if they want to win the championship and get through to the grand final, win some games in the grand final. They need to be able to finish games well and capitalize on those opportunities where Alan Williams didn't even get fouled out, and he had four
Yeah.
fouls with 6 minutes to go in the second. You need to find a way to find that fifth foul and capitalize straight away off no Williams, no Creek. I think Tarangi got injured, Gat got injured. They had limited bigs. That's where Marcus Lee and Magne should be dominating. And mind you, Magne was pretty good, but they got to capitalize from those, I guess, disadvantages on the other team more often. The other game on Christmas Day was Illawarra Sydney, another upset as well. Does this say more about Sydney or Illawarra, Jackson?
Says more about Sydney. Sydney built a very comfortable lead after the first quarter. And let's just call it right now, that is the Lachlan Oldbridge legacy game right there. Right? The guy
Huge.
had five offensive rebounds, and every single one of those resulted, I want to say, in points for Illawarra, or at least very good shots for Illawarra. And it wasn't just his offensive rebounding, it was his defense. Like, he got a steal, I want to say it was on Adams, which led to a fast break point, which I think put Illawarra tied or in the lead. And like, that game is one of the best, less than 10 point games I've seen from a player, just his impact that he had. And then to go with that, Froehlich played a massive game. His shooting in the first half wasn't great, but he built up slowly and he played a really impactful game. And then Harvey hit some big shots, and
Hong Jung Lee as well.
Swakla Bulluk hit some big shots. Yeah, Hunjung Lee had three big 3-pointers in the second half to really build Illawarra. And Sydney's defense from now and then is non-existent. They should be a really, really good rebounding team, but then Oldbridge and Froehlich just went, down on them. So, like, it's. Like, I don't know what to say about Sydney at the moment, because at their best, they can and will be the best team in the league at their best. But at their
Now,
worst, like,
I want to highlight two players from Sydney in that game. I don't know if you can search this up right now, but how many NBA games has Jannar Bolden and Denzel Valentine played? I just want to know. Because you consider Valentine, I don't know if you consider him a veteran or not, but he's played at, I would say, at least 300 odd NBA games in his career. Bolden had a couple good years in the NBA too, was, I think, playing big minutes on a in the playoffs for the 76ers not too long ago. And these two guys are coming off the bench, playing 18 minutes each and not doing anything at all. Like, Valentine was hyped up as this big import coming in, and It's games like that where 6 points, four assists, like from one of your star imports, just not gonna get the job done, is it? Same as Jannard Bolden. And I don't know if it's on those players specifically or if Mahmoud as well. I feel like a bit players of Mahmoud, like he's finding it hard to stick with either Jordan Hunter and or Bolden. Like he's just half of them each game, and I don't think that's given him enough time to actually get into it. We saw that game, but Bolden's this game against Perth when he was getting plenty of minutes. He left him out there for a long time. He was just draining threes. And I think this is what Bolden needs. He needs to be playing 30 minutes a night for him to excel in this team. He's not getting enough game time. Valentine has been pretty poor this season too, if I'm being brutally honest. He's
He's been below expectations, let's say.
by far. I
Yeah.
think his defense is, as you mentioned, non-existent. He's one player that is not showing any defense on that end, and like he's just supposed to be a star import, and he's coming off the bench 18 minutes. Like it's waste of a spot if he's putting that production for you. So I don't know if this says more about the players here in Bolden and Valentine or more on Mahmoud. You also look at a guy like Glover. Like he could have won
Yeah.
finals MVP for this team last year.
Could have and
Two
should have won
minutes.
finals
Yeah.
MVP. Yeah.
2 minutes. So I think it's just Mahmoud as well struggling to find the right rotation in this team. And you say, oh, we give him a bit of leeway. It's the first year's head coach, entirely new starting five, yada yada yada. But what are we, 18 games deep for most teams?
Yeah.
Like you should have the right rotation set, and he doesn't have that. He just is still unsure of who to play and when to play them. And I think that's another issue for the Kings at the moment. I don't know if you agree, but that's what I
Yeah,
see from Sydney.
their rotation is out of whack. I'll give you a good example of, fixing a rotation. So last year we saw with Perth, they were struggling. Then John Reilly, after they signed Ty Webster, it's like, right, we're playing seven guys and that's it. And they gave a whole bunch of minutes to those seven guys. They let them run and they played their best players. And then they'd give spot minutes to guys like Norton, who had a massive game in that playing game against Southeast Melbourne, and then a few others. But like, bang, there's your seven, eight guys. So, like Sydney, you could argue that they have like nine guys that are starting level in this league. Like, they're starting five at the moment, which is Adams, Galloway, Tui,
Hogan Hunter.
Hunter, Hogue. And then you've got Bolden, then you've got Valentine, then you've got Glover, then you've got Noy, and then Bruce is a good, Bruce is
Bench
a good
player.
bench player. So that's 10. Like, they've just got so many good players in this league. I think he's finding it difficult to play them all. But like, they should really start thinking of like, right, this is a cut right now. We're not going to be playing XYZ and just try and win games. Like, I'd be thinking of completely removing somebody from the rotation for at least a game and to see what would happen.
100%.
Because here's the thing, Bolden can play power forward with Hunter, and that's worked in the past. They look very good with that twin tower lineup because Bolden is able to stretch the floor really well. But their switching defense is not perfect. Like,
And it
in
should.
theory. In theory, it is amazing and it should work, but in actuality, it sucks.
Because you got guys like Tui and Galloway that can, like we've seen, Tui's played like on point guards and centers this season, which is odd to me. Like I've seen most of the season, Mahmoud has put Tui on the best player, bringing the ball up. Whether that be like a Jordan Crawford or obviously a Bryce Cotton or,
And then he puts him on JLA, and it's like, what are you doing?
yeah. So, that again, like. It's just interesting the defensive matchups he puts out there. But they got to find something immediately, find that right rotation, find a defensive identity if they're going to be able to win this championship and go back to back to back. Brisbane, they are the worst team in the league right now. No doubt about it. They are playing atrocious basketball, mind you. But in good news for them, obviously with DJ Mitchell missing the rest of the season, they signed Casey Prather for this year and a team option for next year too, which was quite interesting. But three-time NBL champion, we know him. He's an icon of this league for sure. But the man hasn't played in, I think it's 2.5 years. His last game
Yep.
was in May 2021. Mind you, though, his last season, he did win MVP in the Israeli League, which is a pretty good basketball league.
Yeah.
It's up there. So I think he averaged 20 points per game that season. So when he is healthy, 100%, he is an unreal player. Like you don't just walk into three championships as an import in the NBL. And
Three championships in three tries as well.
three, yeah,
Like,
back to back to back as well, yeah.
yeah.
But my thing is, he's 32. He is very injury prone, and he hasn't played in 2.5 years. Like, there's a lot more cons for him at the moment than there is pros. I think the fit as well. Like, he's a small forward. They need that four. He's not a four at all. Like, they got Chris Smith. He has been playing good, so maybe he gets minutes over him. But like, they got Chris Smith. They don't really need that, and they got McDaniel. So they only got Bannon really at that four. It's true four in that team at the moment. And I understand it's hard to find a right import. But again, this is like a huge risk. But you're getting a massive reward. But then you look back, Melbourne, when he played for Melbourne, he missed that championship year. He missed that second half of the season, came back to the playoffs and won that championship. And then
2020,
went
he was
to
injured the
Russia, I
entire
think, then
season.
came back to Melbourne. And then he missed pretty much the entirety of that season, barely played any games. So you're dealing with a very injury-prone player that hasn't played in 2.5 years. He's getting older as well. But then again, he's a three-time NBL champion, Israeli League MVP in his most recent season. And yeah, massive risk, massive reward. What did you think of the pray for signing Jackson?
What I think of it is that, first of all, it's great to see him back in the league. And
Yes.
then you think of Brisbane's setup, and it's like they need a power forward that can slide down to small forward rather than a 3-3-2. But like, I'll ask you a question. Who are
All right. Yeah.
Brisbane's closing five? Who, if you are the head coach, if you're Justin Schüller, who are you putting on as the five to end a game in a close situation?
Are we counting Prather now?
Yes, we're counting Prather now.
Sobey? Sobey, and Sobey. Literally, I couldn't tell you who you put as that final five. Shannon Scott has been terrible this year as well. I know he had a few injuries throughout the year, but he's been nothing really to this Brisbane team. Mitch Norton's been all right, so I guess you got to play him at the point. So maybe Isaac White in there. I feel like he still deserves more minutes than he should. Their only true four at the moment is Josh Bannon. Then center, you got three options. Flip a coin on those. Well, there's three players, but you get the gist. Like,
Like
it's.
they have like a couple guys who are good but not great in every position.
We yeah, and we'll talk about their struggles now. Like, two losses. I don't know how many they've lost in a row now. I think it's
It would be
four.
a couple, yeah.
Yeah. They should be bottom of the ladder, but they've still got two wins ahead of Adelaide. But they played two more games, so that could change. But yeah, they lost four in a row now. That game against Melbourne as well, it's not talked about enough. They got demolished, 103 to
Yeah.
68. Atrocious game for them. To be fair, they had a decent game against Cairns. Then they lose to Adelaide. Then they lose to New Zealand at home. This was my worry, is that their imports. Because they've got these marquee, like two marquee players in Sobey and Baines, who neither of them are really marquee players in the NBL anymore, especially Baines. Like, these guys, these imports in Chris Smith, Shannon Scott need to be sensational for Brisbane to win games. And they had some stint, like Chris Smith, who's been playing well, was at six man before this 4-game losing streak. But up till now, like, he's been pretty average import. Shannon Scott has been nothing of what he was last season. And I don't know. What do you feel? How do they get out of this hole? Can they even make? I feel like they're obviously still in the hunt for the finals, but how do they make the finals? Obviously, you plug Prey from there, they're not going to become this different team automatically. But what honestly do you think needs to happen to make them a contender?
So I watched the game last night in which Brisbane clawed their way back into the game because of one man and one man only, and that guy's Rocco Sagarski. I watched that game. He was brought on with like 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And during his run that he was on, Brisbane went on a massive run due to his defense and his shot, not just shot blocking ability, but shot altering ability. And New Zealand couldn't get an easy basket to save themselves. And that's what caused Brisbane to go on a massive run. Fast forward to the final 2 minutes. Brisbane have the lead. They sub him out for Tyrell Harrison. And then New Zealand go on, like, I want to say a 12-0 run or something close to that. And, like, since they subbed out Rocco, it was the end of the game. They need to give him as many minutes as they can play him for, like, at least 15 a game. And say, like, and then you split the other, what, 25 between Harrison and Baines. Because his defense is going to win teams games. He may not do a whole bunch on offense, but that shot-altering ability is what is going to win Brisbane games, and they just need to play him a bit more.
Yeah, looking at this box score now, looking at the minutes, Isaac White, 3 minutes is not enough. Like, he is such an underrated player in this league. He should be taking Shannon Scott's minutes now. Shannon Scott, 20 minutes, 3 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. One assist is a highlight for me. He's supposed to be that playmaking guard next to Sobey to find Sobey's shot, and he's not doing that. So take those minutes away from him, give some more minutes to Isaac White, and it's just, like, so weird seeing Baines. Like, I don't think he would be the marquee now that Prefer is coming in, because 5 minutes, like, I don't know if they talked about this on the Marketplace episode a couple of hours ago they just released, but this is probably Baines' last.
Yep, they mentioned that.
This is his last season. Like, 5 minutes for Baines is, I don't know what the right word to use to when you look at this, but it's kind of sad to see him, like, only playing 5 minutes and knowing the player he is. And he just hasn't had a good career with his 2 year short stint with the Bullets, and I think that 5-game suspension really put a nail in the coffin for that. So sucks to see. They just gotta, I guess, give more minutes to Isaac White is all I gotta say. Moving on though.
To more NBA brighter things.
Yeah. NBA things now. Trevor Gleason today signed with the Milwaukee Bucks as an assistant coach. It was cool to see him. NBL clubs miss out. Sorry, Illawarra Hawks and Adelaide 36ers. I think Gleason would rather join a championship contending Milwaukee Bucks than a Adelaide 36ers team right now. So, but yeah, good to see him back in the NBA. Hopefully he stays there for a while now. Hopefully he actually stays as an assistant coach and hopefully works his way up as a head assistant coach or eventually a head coach in the NBA. We're still waiting on that NBA Australian-born head coach. Hopefully that is Matt Nielsen or Trevor Gleason, or even Adam Caporn down the track. Hopefully one of those guys. And do it brief as well. Another Aussie doing well in the NBA. 25 points, career high in the NBA. Obviously, he had more in the NBL and I think China as well last season. But 25 points in the NBA is his career high, and 9 rebounds as well, plus 24 on the court. I find it hard to believe that this man is still on a two-way deal. But my quick question with Reef is, do you start him over Landale right now in the Boomer squad?
Yes.
100%.
And I start him at Portland over Ayton because he's been trash. Like,
Well, the funny thing is,
genuinely.
Moses Brown started over him for once in this game.
Yeah, that's a joke.
So then Roof was like, well, I'm going to play 30 minutes. And they ended up winning by 20. So
against
if that's anything to
Sacramento,
go by,
like, that's
if
the
that's
thing.
anything to go by, give them 30 minutes a night. You
Here's
want
the
to win
thing, though,
games?
with Wreath. I saw a stat, and he is, I want to say, fifth or sixth among rookies in plus-minus. And that is on a Portland team that cannot win a game to save their life. It's not like he's playing at OKC and getting minutes like Chet, and where it's like, you know, he's on a good team and he's going to do well because of the guys around him or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's like he is on a Portland team that is struggling to do anything. I mean, they're not Detroit, but they're not winning games a lot. So it's good to see him, you know, having that impact on the floor.
It's funny we say rookie when he's 27 years old,
27.
played, what, 5 years in, he played in Serbia, he played in, you know, obviously at Illawarra, China, Lebanon. He's played
Lebanon.
everywhere, and he's considered a rookie still, so a bit weird, but good to see him. Hopefully they actually get a full-time contract with him or sign him on a multi-year deal of some sort.
If not,
Hopefully that's
some
imminent.
NBA team is going to snap him
Surely,
up.
come on, there's not many players like him that can stretch out, drop 25 and 9, as a center. He's unreal, and it's great to see it. Great to see Dorb Riff playing some great basketball. Rapid questions. You got anything else from the last round you want to talk about? Lakers are back.
Yeah, I want to give some love to Christian Doolittle.
Oh yeah.
Tied the in-season record for rebounds last night with 16. And when I mean in-season, I mean this season.
Yeah.
But, like, he just does everything right. Like,
defensive player of the year now? Candidate
I'd
winning
still,
it?
I'd still have one of the United guys, probably Illy,
Yeah.
on it. But he'd be up there. He'd be in the
Top three.
conversation. The thing is that, like, and I'm sorry to do this, but a certain agent said Alex Tui is the only guy in the league who defends point guards and centers. And then, like, the comments is like, Christian Doolittle, Christian Doolittle,
Yeah.
Christian Doolittle. Like, the guy just, he guards Shai Ili on one possession, bring the ball up, and then he gets switched onto JLA and he holds his own. Like, that guy just does so much.
Yeah.
And, like, he was, right, when we were talking about, when he signed, right, he was cut from his team in France. He played in Puerto Rico. He played second division in Japan. Not even first division, second division in Japan. And he's doing this
Not a good
in the
resume.
NBL.
Yeah.
Like, that is...
Great find.
I mean, and the thing is, like, he went to Oklahoma. He went to a pretty decent basketball school.
Yeah.
And, like, he played with Brady Manick. I think he was a part of the Austin Reeves Oklahoma team as well. Like... He came from a very good program, and then he just hasn't found his spot. And
no, he has.
And if I'm Perth right now, I am offering him at least another year or two, because he's just fit that team so well. And the thing is that he's playing 38 minutes a game. Like, he and Bryce are playing almost 40 minutes. Like, it's yeah, like,
and
it just
they're winning
works
games
really
because of
well.
it. So they're doing the right thing, especially really he's. Found that guy, and we've mentioned it week in, week out. But yeah, they've found that rotation, and they're doing well now. Shout out to Chris and Judah. Rapid questions. Here we go. Will New Zealand make a finals push? Top
A
four.
finals push.
Top
A
four.
top four. Yeah. I don't see them making the top four, but I can definitely see them being close.
Will we see another import change this season?
Yes.
Okay. Should Josh Roberts get minutes for Cairns?
Yep. Yep.
Is Muntis Rubstovskis the third best next star in the NBL right now?
Who's your top two when you're asking
Kliman
that
and Saar.
question? Ooh, okay. So there's Tui, and that's probably it out of the guys in content.
Huck Porty?
Yeah.
That's...
Oh, Huck Porty hasn't been the same since the start of the season.
And was the Jack Jumpers Christmas jersey better than any NBA Christmas jersey we've seen? I
That is
loved
an
it.
I
Because
do
of the
like the
green and
pattern on
red, it
that.
was
I
actual
was thinking of
Christmas
buying one
jersey.
and then I saw the price. Yeah. More original than the NBA Christmas jerseys, which is like, right, we all choose a font for every single team and
Like
then we just write their
massive logo
team
in the
name
middle or
with
something,
a
yeah.
white lettering.
That was like a proper Christmas, like the green and
Yeah.
red, the pattern on it. That was a proper Christmas jersey. I loved it. Loved it. It was elite. Tips for the week. Let me get
Are
the
we back
round.
to a regular round now?
I
Thursday
don't
till
know anymore.
Sunday?
I don't know. There is a game tonight, obviously. So let's start off with that. New round starting, apparently. Adelaide Perth in Adelaide. You'd hope Perth win that, right?
You'd think Perth
You'd
would win
think, not
that, yeah.
hope. You'd think Perth would win that. So we'll go Perth. Friday, Sydney, Cairns. It feels like Sydney and Cairns play every week. I don't know why, but Sydney and Cairns.
In Sydney.
Yeah.
I'll go. Oh, but
This is
Cairns have been
actually
good
tough.
recently.
It really. I don't
I'll go
know.
Sydney just purely because they're playing it in Sydney. But Cairns are a team where it's like they can get on a run and just do bits. But Sydney.
Look, I don't condone betting it. I'm not a betting man, but it says Cairns $3.14 to win this game. So that is sensational. Like this could go either way. So I'm going Cairns.
Well, here's the thing. The last time they played was the infamous shot clock debacle.
Yeah, Cairns should have won that game.
And Cairns came on a run. So you never know.
Brisbane Phoenix at Nissan Arena. If it's anything to make of that past Phoenix game on Christmas Day, I'm going Phoenix in this one.
And Mitch Creek could be back. So I'm going
And
Phoenix as
Prather could
well.
be playing too. So this could be an
Yeah.
interesting game. Prather, Creek, Nadar finally, Abdul Nadar finally getting into rhythm. I'm still going to go Phoenix, though. Brisbane aren't that good at the
Yeah.
moment.
Same.
New Year's Eve, we have Illawarra Adelaide in Illawarra. 4-2 under the Tatum era at the moment, the Hawks. So I'm going to say 5-2. Hawks win that one.
Same here.
Cairns, Melbourne United. Always get a good crowd on New Year's Eve in Cairns. I think that's been like a tradition for like 10, 15 years where
Yeah.
the Cairns always play on New Year's Eve, which is cool to see. But Melbourne's first away game in how long? Like
What, months? Yeah.
2 months, I think it is.
Well, first proper away game. They've
Yeah,
played
not
Phoenix
going.
twice away,
Yeah,
so.
I still got to go Melbourne though. Melbourne are the best team in the comp, so I'm gonna go Melbourne.
Yeah,
New,
same
yeah.
here.
I think this is the last game of the round here. New Year's Day, we got Tassie and New Zealand in Tassie. That is gonna be an interesting game. I'm gonna say that's a game of the round for me too. Ooh. Man, that's
Like,
tough.
yeah, just based on recent form, I'm gonna go with New Zealand. Like, it is
Yeah.
tough.
On recent form, Tassie that loss against Phoenix, New Zealand have won the last four,
Last
three,
three.
last three in a
Last
row.
three.
I'm gonna go New Zealand, away from home in that one. That's it. That's it for the round. Will we get Aiden out of the bunk next week?
Who
Who
knows?
knows? Anyway, you got anything to add before we sign off into the new year,
Yeah, it's going to
2024?
be weird not going to games for a while.
Yep.
You know, we might need to go on a road trip somewhere.
Ooh.
I'm not sure where.
NBL News road
How long
trip.
is the drive to Illawarra?
Quite far. Nah. Have a good New Year's, everyone. Thank you for tuning in for another episode, and we'll see you in 2024.